New Line Cinema, a Time Warner company. British Sky Broadcasting presents a Nick Cassavetes film, starring Cameron Diaz and Abigail Breslin in My Sister's Keeper. Also starring Alec Baldwin, Jason Patrick, Sofia Vassileva, Heather Walquist and Joan Cusack. A young girl sits on the banks of a lake, wrapped up in a warm winter's coat and a grey woolen hat.
When I was a kid, my mother told me that I was a little piece of blue sky that came into this world because she and Dad loved me so much. It was only later that I realized that it wasn't exactly true. Most babies are coincidences. I mean, up in space you got all these souls flying around, looking for bodies to live in. Then, down here on Earth, two people have sex or whatever, and bam, coincidence. Sure, you hear all these stories about how everyone plans these perfect families. But the truth is that most babies are products of drunken evenings and lack of birth control. They're accidents. Only people who have trouble making babies actually plan for them. I, on the other hand, am not a coincidence. I was engineered, born for a particular reason. A scientist hooked up my mother's eggs and my father's sperm to make a specific combination of genes. He did it to save my sister's life. Sometimes I wonder what would have happened if Kate had been healthy. I'd probably still be up in heaven or wherever, waiting to be attached to a body down here on Earth. But coincidence or not, I'm here.
Anna, an 11-year-old girl with long brown hair, gets off a bus in a bustling city centre and goes into a pawn shop with a gold locket.
What can I do for you?
14 karat gold. Hardly ever worn. That's my sister Kate. She's dying.
Montana?
I don't get it. Looks like a whole bunch of nothing.
It is a whole bunch of nothing. Just you and the big old sky.
Why do you like it?
I don't know. I like big things. I like wide open spaces. Besides, it's the only place I've ever been.
That's Mom and Aunt Kelly making dinner. Since my sister got sick, things have changed. Aunt Kelly only works part-time, and Mom quit her job as a lawyer. Her life now revolves around keeping Kate alive. Cooking and cleaning. Everything steamed, organic, and germ-free. I guess you could say that we're a little dysfunctional. But everybody loves each other, and we do the best we can.
What's that word?
What about that language?
Nice shirt, sissy.
Good, right? Hey, Mom, you want to see our routine?
What routine?
No. Come on in, let's do it.
Hey, baby, what's your sign?
Cancer.
You're a Cancer?
No, I'm a Leo. But I have cancer.
That's funny.
I agree with that.
It's not. Nice. These are kids.
Yes, they are. Question is, are they yours?
I believe that. Sweetie, what's your luck?
Oh, I don't feel like wearing it today.
Eat, Kate.
I'm eating.
Is it not good?
It's really good, Mom.
Yeah. Looks good to me.
I have some lentils in the fridge if you want.
I'm fine, Mom.
You're not hungry, huh?
I guess she just needs to breathe a little bit, maybe.
Maybe you should try to breathe a little bit.
Maybe I will a little bit later.
Mm. Mom!
Where are you going?
Bathroom. Wanna come?
Will you breathe on me later?
Outside in the garden, a machine fires large bubbles into the air. Sarah and her oldest child, Jessie, are messing around on a trampoline. Kate wears a broad grin across her pretty face as she plays amongst the colourful bubbles. Anna and her father, Brian, watch on happily from a wooden garden bench.
Having a child who is sick is a full-time occupation.
Sure, we still enjoy the usual day-to-day happinesses of family life. Big house, great kids, beautiful wife. But beneath the exterior, there are cracks, resentments, alliances that threaten the very foundation of our lives. As at any moment, our whole world could come tumbling down.
I don't know when it started, but probably around 11, it was 103.
Hey, what's going on?
Your sister's sick. She's been up all night with a fever.
Kate? Kate?
Anna goes to look for her sister. She finds her in the bathroom, blood streaming from her nose. A weary Kate looks at her sister with desperation in her eyes. At the end of a school day, Jessie waits for Anna outside the Doris Place School.
Hey.
You ready? Let's go.
Jessie and Anna get onto a bus and go into town. Standing together on a busy street.
You sure you want to do this?
Jessie hands Anna a wad of cash.
You know you're nuts, right?
I'll be right back.
All right, I'll be waiting.
When Anna Fitzgerald first stepped into my office, I thought she was selling Girl Scout cookies.
Thank you. Oh my gosh, it's really you!
It really is.
I'm Kimball Alexander. I have a 90% success rate.
91.
What can I do for you?
You've seen my commercials.
All of them. I mean, that's why I'm here. Right.
Please don't touch Judge as a service dog.
What service?
I have an iron lung and Judge helps me steer clear of magnets. Please sit down. What is your name?
Anna Fitzgerald.
What can I do for you, Anna?
That is so cool. I want to see my parents for the rights to my own body.
Would you repeat that, please?
I want to see my parents for the rights to my own body. My sister has leukemia. They're trying to force me to give her my body parts.
You're supposed to give her a kidney?
She's been in renal failure for months now.
Well, no one can force you to donate if you don't want to, can they?
They think they can. I'm under 18. They're my legal guardians.
They can't do that.
Well, that's what I want you to tell them, because they've been doing it to me my whole life. I wouldn't even be alive if Kate wasn't sick. I'm a designer, maybe. I was made in a dish to be spare parts for Kate.
You're kidding, right? The kid wasn't lying. The doctor started taking things from her the moment she was born. Cord blood as an infant, white cell transfusions, bone marrow, lymphocytes, injections to add more stem cells, and then they took them too. But it was never enough. You do know what will happen if you don't give your sister your kidney, don't you?
Yeah, she'll die. So there's a little over $700 here, and I know that's not enough, but it's all I have, and I need your help. Please.
You sure you want to go through with this? Good for you.
Sarah wakes up alone in her double bed.
It's hard to imagine now, but there was a time before all this happened. When the kids were just kids, and everyone was happy.
A flashback.
Hi, baby. Where's your sister?
Sleeping. I tried poking her and everything.
Hey, Katie Cat. Good morning, sweetie.
Are you awake? How you doing? Rise and shine.
Sarah finds red blotches on Kate's back. At the doctor's.
Anemia, right? Kids her age don't get mono, do they?
Could be a virus. I'll have to draw some blood and run a few tests. Kate's white cell count's much lower than normal.
What's that mean?
I don't know. She may have an autoimmune deficiency. Could just be a lab error.
Oncology. But that's cancer.
In a hospital waiting area.
Mr. and Mrs. Fitzgerald. I'm Ileana Farquad.
Hello.
Hi. So, I took a look at Kate's CBC. Her white blood count is very low. She's also presenting with 12% promyelocytes and 5% blasts, which does indicate a leukemic syndrome.
Leukemic?
Cancer. I'll need a bone marrow aspiration to confirm, but it seems that Kate could have what is called acute promyelocytic leukemia. I'm sorry.
With a look of deep concern upon her face, Sarah peers through a door window into an operating theatre. Anaesthetised, Kate lies face down on a bed as a surgeon sticks a needle into her back to gain a blood sample. Later, Sarah and Brian lie on top of their bed together.
St. Joe doesn't know shit. You remember when the chief saw us in the backyard playing with Jesse and broke his left arm? They put a cast on his right.
I'm not gonna let her die. You know that, right? I'm not.
Nighttime. In Los Angeles City, a troubled-looking Jesse stands alone in the shadows of a doorway by a payphone. He slumps down the wall into a squatting position as the bright headlights of passing cars on the adjacent road whistle past. His mobile phone rings.
Hello?
We heard her coughing, but she wouldn't open the door. So your mom kicked it in.
Kicked the door down?
Yeah.
So she's lost a lot of blood. We need to get platelets and fluids into her right away. I don't want her going into shock.
Okay, you have her age and approximate weight?
15. She's about 90 pounds. She's allergic to penicillin.
100 over 68. Okay, base camp rescue 11. We have 50-year-old girl, approximately 90 pounds. DP is 100 over 68.
Jesus Christ. At home, paramedics are busily tending to Kate, who is propped up against her bed, vomiting. Her scared siblings watch on in horror from the doorway. Kate is placed onto a stretcher chair. Blood is streaming from her nose. Her eyes have dark rings around them, and her skin on her hairless head is pale and clammy. At the hospital.
Nobody's saying anything, but seeing everybody together lets me know that this is serious. Our family is kind of disconnected. Dad's relatives are wealthy and distant, and Mom's side drives her crazy. So besides Aunt Kelly, we never really get to see anybody except on holidays or disasters.
Kate's leukemia is back. She's no longer remissing.
We've looked at her smear and her leukemic cells are showing at 23%.
How many is bad?
Any.
What about chemo?
Well, it's an option, but Kate doesn't seem to take it very well. And her cancer may be too far along.
So you need more bone marrow?
Yes, but the leukemia isn't Kate's biggest problem now. She's lost the function of her kidneys. They've quit. They're gone.
A flashback.
Not a match?
No.
We're her parents, don't we have to be?
Everyone inherits two sets of chromosomes containing HLA genes. Unfortunately, there's only a 1 in 200 chance that parents and their children will be perfect histocompatible HLA matches.
What about Jesse?
I'm afraid not. It's possible that a donor will crop up on the National Bone Marrow Registry.
I thought you said getting a transplant from an unrelated donor was dangerous.
I did, but Kate's situation is time sensitive, and sometimes that's all we've got. I'd like to suggest something completely off the record. Many times one sibling isn't a match, but another is. Have you considered having another child? Not to be forward, but umbilical blood can be an incredibly effective tool in treating leukemic patients. It's like a miracle.
How would you know that the new child would be a match?
We could make sure of it.
In a test tube?
Yes, with pre-implantation genetic diagnosis, it would be a 100% match.
A donor child?
It's not for everybody. And legally, I can't even officially recommend it. But like I said, cord blood would be invaluable.
Well, we gotta do it. We gotta try.
That was it. Grown in a dish, they would have an in vitro child. A perfect chromosomal match who would be Kate's genetic savior.
Remember that time when we strapped?
Someone here to see you.
Sarah Fitzgerald?
Yes.
You've been served.
What is that?
Petition for medical emancipation by...
What does that mean?
The ability to make all future medical decisions independent of her parents... Not to be forced to submit medical treatment, including not limited to donating or giving. Anna, what is this? Is this from you?
Yeah, I got a lawyer.
You're suing us? Honey, what the hell is going on?
I don't want to do it anymore, Mom.
You don't want to do it anymore? That's it? You don't want to do it?
No.
Well, guess what? Neither do I, and neither does Kate.
Mom,
but it's not like we have a choice in this.
But that's the thing, I do have a choice.
Really, is that so?
Yeah.
That's your sister. Have you forgotten that?
No.
Do you know what's going to happen to her if you do this?
Yes, believe it or not, Mom, I actually thought about it.
Sarah.
Sarah slaps her daughter across the face. Distraught, Anna runs out of Kate's hospital bedroom. Jesse watches from the adjacent waiting room as Sarah and her sister argue. Brian, a fireman, is at work, with crews of firefighters endeavouring to put out an enormous blaze.
Fitzgerald, your wife called. Said to give her a call, support 911.
What, you just tell me now?
Let the secretary's own freaking call.
God damn it, Gus.
All right, let's hear it. What's going on?
Okay. Forget about the fact that the operation is dangerous, or that it would hurt, or that I might just not want to have something cut out of me. But if I only have one kidney, then what happens to me? What if I need it? And am I really never allowed to play sports or be a cheerleader or get pregnant?
Can't drink.
What if I just want to live a long time?
Sweetheart, you're going to live a long time.
Yeah? Then tell me this. What if the transplant doesn't work? What then?
She's your sister.
I know that, but I'm not like you, Mom. Okay, I see the other kids. I see what they do. They go to parties and they get to go to the beach.
Maybe what I don't understand is why you didn't say something earlier.
When, Dad? When should I talk to you about it? You're never home. You leave me here with her.
Excuse me? You have never had to do anything that you don't want to do, and you know that.
Yeah, but I always wound up doing everything. Now, didn't I?
Spoiled little shit!
Everyone be quiet. We said she gets a table, she gets a table. Go ahead.
Remember how the doctor said if I did the operation, I would have to be careful for the rest of my life? But I don't want to be careful. Who wants to live like that?
Anna,
I'm important too, Mom. I'm important too! Let me go!
Nighttime. Brian takes Anna to work with him.
Mom needs to cool off a bit. She's a little upset.
Yeah, I heard her. Get her out of here. I don't want to look at her face anymore.
I looked at my daughter and wondered how it got from there to here.
At the fire station, Anna is greeted with open arms by the crew on duty, who are preparing food in the kitchen. Brian, with a half smile across his face, watches on as his daughter is hugged, then offers some food to sample off of a wooden spoon. Anna turns to look at her father for approval.
From the moment we decided to genetically conceive, I suppose this was the eventual outcome. It was our fault. We went against nature, and this was our comeuppance. But had we really pushed her too hard? Have we forced her into helping her sister? All those little encouragements and rewards, were they real? Or did we just want what we wanted? She was so little when all this started. When did she start wanting to make her own decisions?
Flashback to a younger Anna, frightened in an operating theater.
I guess the answer was now.
What do you mean you don't know?
She won't talk. You know, maybe she just wants to be considered. Take the credit that it's her decision. I don't know. Maybe it's not crazy.
What, you don't want her to do it?
I didn't say that. But it's against her will. So how does that work? Do you hold her down or do I?
Don't
be dramatic.
Well, you're gonna take her ankles? I'll take her wrist. She's not a baby anymore, and you just can't trick her into
something. I know.
So then what?
I don't know.
You wanna sedate her? We get her handcuffs, tell her we're going to get ice cream again? Because if we do, every day for the rest of her life, she's gonna look at us like we forced her, like we used her. And she'll be right.
For Christ's sakes, Brian, I didn't do this. Whose side are you on?
Side? What sides? Are there sides now? She doesn't want to do it.
Your 11 o'clock appointment is here.
I don't have an 11 o'clock appointment.
Wait a minute, you can't go in there.
Mr. Alexander, I'm Sarah Fitzgerald, Anna's mother.
It's okay, Gloria.
Are you sure? Because I don't mind calling security.
No, thank you. What can I do for you, Mrs. Fitzgerald?
The legal age for emancipation of a minor is 14 in the state of California. It's the law. You might want to check it out. Anna's 11. You're 3 years too early.
I'm aware of the law. She's challenging.
She can't. She's too young to stand for herself.
I'm filing for her as guardian ad litem.
As what? A family independence agency?
I have 15 years as a volunteer member of the ACLU, in addition to which I have this power of attorney. Signed by your daughter.
This'll never hold up. It's not even legal.
Anna doesn't want to do it anymore. And 11 years old or not, she has rights, and so long as she wants to move forward, I am going to help her.
Why? What's your interest? This isn't a case for you.
What
There's
is
no
my
money.
Interest?
In it.
8 hospitalizations in 11 years, 6 catheterizations, 2 bone marrow aspirations, 2 stem cell purges.
She was helping her sister.
Not to mention the side effects, including bleeding, infections, bruising. Filgrastim shots, those are growth hormones, am I correct?
Something like that.
Drugs for nausea, opiates for pain, Ambien for sleep, not exactly the proper medication for preteen.
Every procedure had its risks and complications. Anna understood that. She was okay with it.
Really?
Yeah.
At 5 years old.
You're good. You're really good. You know, I've seen your commercials, right? I mean, who hasn't? And I always thought that you were some sort of headline-seeking hack, but you have real talent. You almost had me believing that you cared about Anna.
Funny, I was about to say the same thing to you. Mrs. Fitzgerald, did you ever say to yourself, maybe I'm wrong, maybe I took it a little too far?
I'll see you in court. You gotta get up. You haven't been out of that bed in 2 weeks.
I'm tired.
You can do it.
It's a beautiful day outside.
No.
It's sunny. It's going to be good for you.
I'm too sick.
You're not too sick. You're reactively depressed. And I'm not going to feed you antidepressants because they're going to just make you more numb than you already are. Now get up.
No!
Hey, baby. You want to tell me what's really wrong?
I'm tired. Don't you get that? I'm sick and I'm tired and I'm ugly.
Hey, stop.
Don't you dare tell me that I'm beautiful because I'm not. Don't you dare tell me that nobody's going to stare because they will.
Oh, God.
I'm hungry.
Come here.
Okay, that's it.
Mom?
In the bathroom, Sarah stands before a mirror, shaving off her long blonde hair. Later at the seaside, Aunt Kelly and the family enjoy a day out on a pier. In a photo booth, the family members lark about as they enjoy having their photos taken together. Multiples of black and white strips of photos are delivered outside the booth.
Cause you and me so happily make all our dreams of make-believe reality.
Time has passed. Kate sits up in her hospital bed, tubes protruding from her nostrils. She flicks through the pages of her scrapbook. She smiles to herself as she looks at a collage of photos taken on the day out at the pier.
This is it. I know I'm going to die now. I suppose I've always known that. I just never knew when. And I'm okay with it, really. I don't mind my disease killing me.
But it's killing my family, too. While everyone was so worried about my blood counts, they barely even noticed that Jesse was dyslexic.
A flashback to a younger Jesse.
Look at this place. You see all these kids around here? They got a football team. This Olympic-style swimming pool.
Horses?
They got horses. Massive playground here. Look at that Tarzan rope into a lake. There's kids everywhere. You're gonna have a great time there. What? Come on, you know this is gonna be like a vacation for you.
Try harder.
It's not about that. Hey, look at me. You know how sometimes when you see things, they are a little mixed up? This place is special because they have teachers there that will show you how to straighten it out.
Okay.
No, I can't do that.
Okay. You're gonna get so good at math.
It's gonna be a year, that's it, all right?
Just till your grades are up.
You don't like it, you come right home.
Okay. I'm sorry, Jesse. I'm sorry I took all the attention when you were the one who needed it the most.
Kate turns over the page of her scrapbook. The next double page spread is covered with photos of her parents.
Dad, I know I took your first love from you. I only hope that one day you get her back. Mom, you gave up everything for me. Your work, your marriage, your entire life, just to fight my battles for me every single day. I'm sorry you couldn't win. And to my baby sis, who was always so very little, I'm sorry I let them hurt you. I'm sorry I didn't take care of you. It was supposed to be the other way around.
Hey.
Hi.
I got you something.
Is that me?
Mm-hmm. I'm not done with it, but...
In the Los Angeles Superior Court, Campbell Alexander walks along the corridor with his dog. He stops outside a courtroom door and peers in through the window. Sarah joins him.
Sal, though, I thought she was on leave.
She was. She's back.
Your Honor, clearly Ms. Naranguez is afraid for her life. At this time, the plaintiff requests a continuation on the restraining order.
Stand, please.
Mr. Merengue, by order of this court, you are no longer allowed within 1,000 yards of Mrs. Merengue or her residence. You understand how far 1,000 yards is?
Judge DeSalvo had a very public nervous breakdown after her 12-year-old daughter was killed by a drunk driver. She had taken a 6-month leave of absence to deal with her grief, and this was the first time I'd seen her back in court.
You're going to jail. Okay, next case, please.
Thank you, Your Honor. 48572.
I'd like to see counsel in my chambers, please. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
What's with the dog?
He's a service dog, Your Honor.
Well, please make sure he behaves himself. I just had these carpets cleaned.
Yes, ma'am.
Good to see you, Sarah. I wasn't aware you were still practicing.
I wasn't planning to, Your Honor, but the complainant is my daughter.
What's this about, Counselor?
Mrs. Fitzgerald's youngest child wishes to be medically emancipated from her parents.
Except there's no legal definition of medical emancipation, at least not in the state of California. It's one of those new age terms that Mr. Alexander has latched onto.
Yes, I'm well aware of Mr. Alexander's reputation. He once tried to sue God in my courtroom.
Did sue, Your Honor. Jerome Dillon versus the Diocese of California, and I won that one.
I remember, so...
So Mr. Alexander wants you to change the law. An 11-year-old can't be emancipated. At least not legally.
My client is not seeking to be legally emancipated. She still loves her parents and still wants to live at home. She just doesn't want to be cut open anymore.
Yes, I've read the complaint. What is it exactly that you're after?
Limited termination of parental rights.
All right. Very smart. Very creative. I assume you have precedent.
Yes, Planned Parenthood versus Danforth, mature minor doctrine, Smith versus Sibley, Grello versus Florida.
And defense is moving for summary dismissal?
Yes, today if possible. Anna's too young to make a decision of this size on her own. She doesn't fully understand what it is that she wants. She's 11 years old. She changes her mind every 5 minutes. You know how young girls can be. Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
Mr. Alexander?
The best interests of the child, Your Honor.
All right, well, I need to see Anna. Is she here?
Yes, but I was really hoping to keep her out of it.
Keep her out of it? Mrs. Fitzgerald, you just told me your daughter doesn't fully understand what she wants. If you want a decision today, I need to find that out. Do you have a problem with that, Counselor?
None whatsoever.
All right, well, please send her in.
Thank you, Your Honor.
And Sarah? I'm awfully sorry about Kate.
An anxious-looking Anna is escorted by the judge's secretary down a long corridor to her office.
Thank you.
Hi.
Hi.
You can sit down if you like. What's up in your drink? I've got 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, or apple juice?
7-Up, please.
7-Up.
Thank you.
So you know why you're here?
Yep.
Pretty scary stuff, huh?
Well, I don't really like everyone being mad at me.
I meant having to take care of your sister all the time.
No, I don't mind. I like it.
You guys get along okay?
Of course, she's my sister.
With all those operations, it's gotta be pretty crazy, right?
Anna becomes lost in thought.
Quietly, girls. This is a hospital. This is not a sorority. I need a urine sample.
But I don't have to go.
We'll drink something.
And I'm not thirsty.
Listen to me, young lady. I don't like a lot of back talk. Drink, don't drink, I don't care. But you just better fill it.
What a bitch, right?
I'll fill it. Nice and warm.
No.
Ready?
All set. Oh, wait a minute. Looks a little cloudy. I think I should filter it again. Much better. What do you think?
You are disgusting. And so are you!
In the judge's office, Anna sheds a tear.
Look at me, I'm crying like an idiot.
You're not an idiot. I see idiots every day. You're not even close. You okay? Where'd you go?
Anna's eyes are drawn to photographs of the judge's daughter on a table. Joan gulps as she tries to contain her emotions.
Can I ask you something?
Sure.
What was it like when she died?
Perdina?
Yeah, I mean, what did it feel like?
Joan looks uncomfortable as she sits back in her chair and contemplates her response. Her eyes fill up with tears.
Sorry. I shouldn't have said anything. Sometimes I just think things and then say them.
Did you know Dina?
No.
She was older than me. I mean, I saw her on the TV and everything, but I didn't know her.
Yeah, you're... Yeah.
I'm real sorry.
Don't be. There's no shame in dying.
All rise.
I am going to rule against summary dismissal. Please clear my calendar and schedule a hearing for first thing Friday morning. Thank you.
Jesse arrives home to a quiet and empty house.
Hello?
Later, Jesse travels alone on a bus. The colourful neon lights of the city reflect on the windows of the vehicle. He sits staring forlornly out at the city streets. Then he gets off at the next stop. He places a woolly hat upon his head, then aimlessly walks along the busy city streets. Deep in thought, he stops on a street corner outside a fast food outlet, sipping on a drink from a straw in a carton. Ladies of the night head towards him. He looks over at them as they pass by. Jesse looks sad and lonely as he sits on a bench watching the world go by. At the hospital, Aunt Kelly and Sarah are at Kate's bedside.
Girl, you need a day at the spa.
Yeah, I don't see
the beautician, the mani, the pedi, oh,
okay.
The whole thing.
1 to 10, how's your pain?
6.
6? All right, let's take care of it.
Got a minute? She's feeling pretty good today.
Sarah, these lucid moments are going to get briefer and further apart. Kate's in system failure now. Body defenses are at zero. The fevers Kate's been getting, it's infection from the dialysis. And it's not just in her arm or leg, it's in her blood. I'm sorry, Sarah, this is it. We're at the end.
Dr. Chance?
What is it, Princess? Hard to say. Not if nothing changes. Not too long.
Not too long? Not too long what?
Will it hurt?
No. Yeah, I'll make sure of that.
Listen, I don't want to hear talk like that, okay, honey? You just stay strong enough for surgery, okay?
Okay, Mom.
Sarah, let's take a walk. Let me introduce you to someone. Sarah, this is Ms. Swearingen, our home health aide.
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Have you spoken to the Make-A-Wish people?
What is this? What is this, a quality of life speech?
Mrs. Fitzgerald, you might want to consider taking Kate home.
No.
Making her comfortable, no. Managing her pain.
No hospices. Henry, what is this? You think that we should take Kate home to die?
What do you want me to say, Sarah? It's an option. Look, I know you don't listen to anybody, but it's our job to tell you.
Death is a normal process of life. You need to acknowledge
no,
that.
No, I don't. Who is this broad?
Have you spoken to Kate? Look, do you know what she wants?
I don't care what anybody wants. We're doing the operation.
What operation, Sarah? You have an unwilling donor. Look, the hospital won't even allow it anymore without a court order. What, you think we don't know what's going on here?
Your daughter is dying, and you might want to spend some quality time with her.
Look, it's sister...
From her hospital bed, Kate looks concerned as she watches her mother through the window in her room, getting irate at the doctors in the reception area.
I did it. They look wonderful. Don't touch them. I gotta go.
going to work.
Bye.
Bye. I'll be back.
Kelly finishes painting Kate's fingernails. Kate smiles. When she is alone, she pulls out her scrapbook from under the covers. The pages read, "What is masculine, what is feminine?" with bullet points listed on each page, alongside a cartoon cutout of a man and a woman looking lovingly at one another. Kate looks comforted as she reads some of the words. Big hands, short hair and football for masculine, and pink, soft hands and long hair for feminine. She turns the page to reveal a picture of herself with no hair. A flashback to an appointment at the hospital.
Hey, Mom. Hmm? Do you know that Minnesota is known as the land of 10,000 lakes? Well, Montana's got like a million times that.
No, I didn't know that.
Hi.
Hello.
What are you here for?
The free cocktails.
Right. Happy hour.
I'm Taylor. AML.
Kate. APL.
Rarity.
Yeah, right?
You're in remission?
Today, anyway. Chemo?
Yeah. So, what do you do when you're not here at the hospital?
Nothing. Just wait for something that makes me come back.
Well, then maybe we could hang together sometime.
Yeah. Okay.
Can I get your phone number?
Okay.
Kate looks at her mother, who in turn frantically searches for a pen in her handbag. Upon finding one, she passes it to Taylor.
Thanks.
Thanks.
I'm Taylor, by the way.
Sarah Fitzgerald. Nice to meet you.
Okay, Taylor. You're out of here.
Five, 5, 5, 0, 1, 7, 3.
Taylor writes the number on the palm of his hand.
Well, I gotta go. I'll call you, Kate.
So, what do you think?
Girl, that boy is fun.
I know, right? Mm-hmm. So, do you think he'll call?
I don't know, baby.
Hello?
Okay, I just wanted to make sure you didn't give me a bogus number.
The radiation, which ultimately put Kate into remission, worked its magic by wearing her down. Taylor Ambrose, a drug of an entirely different sort, worked his magic by building her up.
Kate and Taylor enjoy a date together in a restaurant. Taylor sits with his arm around Kate as she nibbles on some chips. Taylor, a handsome young man who has lost all of his hair, strokes Kate's mane of hair as he snuggles up next to her. Kate smiles contentedly as she entwines her fingers within his. At home, the whole family sit together around the dining table when Kate's mobile phone starts to ring.
Oh, that's her new boyfriend, Taylor.
What? She has a boyfriend?
They go to Borders together and read books. It's really, really dorky. Do you want to see a picture?
Yes.
Hand me the bag, please.
The chicken. Watch the chicken, please. Oh. He's actually a really good kid. I like him. Oh, wow. He's, like, really good.
Cute, right?
Yeah.
Hey! You did good, Katie!
Brian and Sarah lie awake in bed. The television casts a flickering light over their faces. When Sarah hears a car pull up outside, she gets out of bed and goes to the window.
What's the matter?
Nothing. She's home.
Brian gets up from the bed and joins Sarah at the window. They watch as Kate walks up the driveway with Taylor. The young couple stop outside the front door and gaze longingly into one another's eyes. Taylor gently cups the side of Kate's face with his hand before leaning in to kiss her, slowly and tenderly. Kate wraps her arms around his neck and pulls him in close to her body. They enjoy the intimacy they share together. Taylor becomes emotional. Tears well up in his eyes. He pulls Anna in close to him and kisses her passionately. Kate and Taylor remain locked in one another's arms before they can finally bring themselves to let go and say their goodbyes.
I had a really good time.
Me too.
Taylor places a kiss on Kate's forehead, then heads off back down the driveway. Kate watches him leave, then enters the house. In Anna's bedroom, she crouches down by the side of the bed.
You awake?
I am now. So how was it? Was it great? We kissed.
Kissed? What was it like? Was it sexy? Was it gross? Was there a lot of tongue?
No. It was nice. How did you know what to do?
I don't know. Just did.
He has scars on his hands. From Graf versus Host. I could feel them when we were holding hands. That weird? It's kind of like we matched.
In the hospital, Taylor joins Kate at her bedside. Sarah sits alongside the bed, reading a magazine.
Hello. Hi.
Hey.
Oh. How far into it are you?
Just started.
$100 says you won't make it till 3 without tossing your cookies.
You're disgusting. You're just a slacker. Don't you have anywhere to be?
No, nowhere. What are you doing? You're trying to weasel your way out of the bed, huh?
I'm trying to spare you, although...
Okay.
Taylor holds a bucket for Kate to be sick in. He then hands her a couple of tissues for her to wipe her face with, then passes her a glass of water. Sarah watches on anxiously.
Sorry.
What are you talking about? Tomorrow could be me. Here.
Sarah sadly looks on as Taylor tends to her daughter's needs. Kate sits on the edge of the bed, with her head bowed, looking pale and washed out. Taylor offers Kate some gum to chew on Wearily, she takes it and pops it into her mouth, chewing on it half-heartedly. Sarah smiles to herself as she observes her daughter and Taylor together. Taylor encourages Kate to take another stick of gum, then holds her as she flops into his arms.
Trust me, you need it. Trust me.
Fun date, huh?
So you had french fries for lunch, huh?
You're disgusting.
You lost the bet. Pay up.
I don't have any money. I'll pay in sexual favors.
That's just great. Why don't we ask your mom about that?
Keep it up and your next date will be during a bone marrow aspiration.
Just joking.
Yeah, I hope so.
Hate you. I really hate you. Mm-hmm. So, hospital, that's Rose's dance for sick kids. It's really dorky. It's done like a regular prom. Band and tuxes and punch spiked with platelets. And last year I went stag, and it was really dumb. I was thinking, you're a patient and I'm a patient, and maybe we could go together.
Kate smiles delightedly. Try on a dress for the prom.
It's a little low, don't you think?
You look like a banana.
I think it's very nice, very modest, and it does cover up a lot of cleavage.
Will it cover this?
Oh, Kate.
Let's go.
Just because you're angry doesn't mean you have to take it out on the rest of the world.
Yeah, well, she's a bitch. Just here looking at my scarf.
Well, maybe she liked the pattern.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That dress sucked anyway.
It was awful.
You know what?
I'm not going. I'm never going to find a stupid dress anyway.
Really? Don't you think that every other girl going to that dance feels the same way?
I don't care about any other girl, Mom. I just wanted to look good, really good, for one night. What?
Sarah stops outside a wig shop. Kate turns to look at the window display. A broad grin slowly spreads across her pretty face. On the night of the prom, a dashing-looking tailor waits anxiously for Kate in her lounge, accompanied by her father and brother. Sarah, Kelly and Anna excitedly run down the stairs into the room.
Are you ready?
Okay, ready!
Here, hurry quick.
Oh, my God. There she is.
That is just so beautiful. Look how beautiful. Doesn't she look beautiful?
Wait, stay right there. Wait, don't come down.
Honey, you look so beautiful.
No, she looks pretty. Okay, wait. Stop. Can you just come down? I want to see your guys. Wait, Kate, go back up the stairs for a second. I want to see you coming down with your hands. Can you look this way, Taylor? Excellent. Wait, hold on. There we go. Wait, I want to get a Polaroid, too. Hold on. Can I see your face? Oh, excellent. Okay. Right there, if you guys want to stand right there.
There
we go. Ready?
Okay.
Yeah. Wait, I didn't get enough pictures.
One more.
Okay, Chris,
you're kind of blocking it, sweetheart. Can you just...
I got it.
Can I see that?
You guys stand like you're at prom, you know?
Yeah, let me see that corsage.
Sweet, but can I just see
it? Cheese.
There we go.
Hi.
Excellent.
Hi.
Oh, sweet.
Kate wanders over to her father, who is watching on from the corner of the room.
I look pretty, Daddy.
Speechless, he smiles admiringly at his beloved daughter.
Ready? Have some fun.
Love you, Daddy.
Right here. Right here. Taylor.
At the ball, Kate and Taylor dance in one another's arms together, their eyes transfixed on each other. The room is decorated with large round lanterns hanging from the ceiling and a starcloth curtain around the walls. A live band sing on the stage. As they head out of the room together, Kate excitedly runs her clutch bag along the rows of vertical hanging lights, then twirls amongst them. They run along the hospital corridor into a lift. Laughing, they fall over on the floor as the lift door closes. Running, they make their way along a dark and empty floor of the hospital. Kate has taken off her shoes and has hitched up her full-length cream halter-neck gown. They stop outside an area which has been sealed off with plastic sheeting. Undeterred, they rip open the plastic and step through into the sealed-off corridor. At another doorway, also closed off with plastic, Taylor parts the sealant like a curtain and gestures to Kate to go inside. Obligingly, she steps into the room. It is a bedroom, shrouded in a blue, hazy light. The couple lie on the bed together. Kate has removed her wig.
You ever think about dying?
Not really.
You're not scared?
No. No cancer, I never would have found you. So yeah, I'm glad I'm sick.
Me too.
You okay?
Yeah.
A tear slowly rolls down Kate's cheek as she rests her head upon Taylor's naked chest. In the dark hospital room, the couple lie contentedly in the bed together.
It's been 3 days, Mom, and he won't return my calls. I leave messages and he won't call me back.
Did you guys get into a fight after the prom?
No.
Well, maybe he's busy, you know? Maybe he went out of town for an emergency or something. Maybe it has nothing to do with you.
We did it, okay? We did it and now he won't call me back.
You did it?
That's right.
What do you mean you did it? You did it?
No, but we did some stuff, okay?
Stuff? What kind of stuff?
Mom, I don't want to talk about it with you, okay? I just told you because I'm mad.
Sarah marches over to the ward's reception desk.
Alice. Yeah, Taylor. Have you seen him? What?
I was sure somebody had told you.
Sarah bows her head as Alice delivers the bad news. Distraught, Kate lies on top of the covers of her hospital bed. Comforting her, Sarah sits by her side, stroking her arm. Rivulets of rainwater stream down the window of the room, matching the cascading tears that Kate silently sheds. Sarah stares vacantly towards the window. A flashback to when Sarah argued with the doctor and the lady, suggesting that Kate should return home to die. Sitting up in her hospital bed, Kate views her mother, then continues to flick through the pages of her scrapbook. The pages are covered with photographs of herself with Taylor, entwined in each other's arms, kissing and having fun together. Nighttime in Los Angeles. Jessie runs across a busy street, endeavouring to catch a bus.
God damn it!
The bus driver closes the doors just as Jesse reaches the bus, then fails to reopen them. Against a blaze of bright car headlights, a frustrated Jesse roams the city streets. Looking solemn, he bows his head. He then tries to hitch a lift. Streams of cars pass. Then, eventually, a car slows down by his side. Later, he is dropped off near his house. He wanders up the driveway, opens the front door, and enters the dark house.
When I got home, I wondered how much trouble I'd be in.
Buddy, what are you doing up? Can't sleep?
I can't sleep.
Look, I want to go to the hospital to spend the night with your sister. You want to come?
All right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Sure.
Let me
get a coffee, get your stuff. Hey, bud. Everything okay?
Yeah.
In the house, Sarah goes through some papers at a desk as her sister sits on a window seat reading. Kelly looks over to Sarah and gives her a disparaging look.
What? Can I ask you something?
Sure.
You really think you're gonna win? You really expect the judge to take Anna's kidney against her will?
Well, there's precedent. There's Hart versus Brown, Mazden versus Harrison, Strunk versus Strunk.
I know.
Besides, the court should just mind their own business. Why? What's your point?
Don't start that shit.
What?
I'm your sister.
What shit?
I'm behind you no matter what. I'll do whatever.
And I do. I'm just not sure you're seeing the big picture. What big picture, Cal? Spit it out.
I know it's important for you to feel like you never gave up. I mean, who are you if you're not this crazy bitch mother fighting for a kid's life, right?
But there's like a whole world out there. You don't see any of it. Nothing. Sooner or later, you gotta stop. You gotta let go. I can't.
How's she doing?
She's exhausted. Dallas has really wiped her out.
What'd you say, baby?
She wants to go to the beach. The damnest thing. I'm talking about it all day.
The next day, Jesse enters Kate's hospital room to find his dad asleep in a chair.
Dad. He's here.
You have to count to what, five? Yeah. Well, you're not counting. You gotta count it. All right. You beat me. How's our girl?
She wants to go to the beach.
The beach, huh? I'm not sure that's a bad idea. She's not going to be any sicker at the beach than she is here. It might have been good for her.
Not too dangerous, then, huh?
I don't think so. She was dialyzed yesterday, and she has no scheduled treatments until Friday.
How'd I do this? I can just get her up and walk her out of here?
Discharge her for the day. The insurance company will definitely not approve this, so we'll have to readmit through emergency. But if she happened to be there at, let's say, 7 o'clock, I just might be there to meet her.
Okay.
It's one day. Kate's been through the ringer, so if it's not going to make her any worse, I say, take the kid to the beach.
Brian gratefully shakes Dr. Chance's hand. At Anna's school, he stands outside talking to a teacher when Anna emerges from the main entrance. He points over to the car. Anna's delighted when she spots her sister sitting in the back of the car. As Anna races over to the car, Kate beams broadly at her. Brian drives Jesse, Kate and Anna in his 4x4 through a pretty tree-lined suburban area of Los Angeles, back to their large, detached house, Sarah is in the garden.
Get your stuff. March in, march out. 1 minute.
Hey, what's going on?
We're going to the beach.
You're
going to the
beach. Get your bikini. Kate? Kate, what are you doing
Mama,
at...
Please,
wait a second.
Mama.
What is she doing out of the hospital? Brian! Brian! That'll kill her. Give me the keys. I'm taking her back to the hospital. Give me the keys, Brian. You are killing her! Do you understand that? You take her to the beach, you're killing her! Come on, Katie!
Mom, please, don't think of me!
It's okay.
I don't know.
Do you see how upset she
Stop.
Is? Do you
we're
see what you're doing to her? I'm gonna call the cops.
Do what you gotta do. The last 14 years, I've let you have it all.
No, the last 14 years have been about saving her life.
Today is not about you. It is Katie. She wants to go to the beach, and I'm taking her. If you'd like to come, no, I better. You better come, because if you don't, I want a divorce. How's that?
A divorce? Great!
Good,
you got
done,
a fucking
done.
Divorce. You
We're
understand? You have
now.
A divorce. You
divorce.
Want a divorce. Got
done.
It.
Let's go. In the car.
No, Anna.
In the car.
Brian. Give me the keys. This is ridiculous.
Stop.
You are going to regret this, Brian. You understand? You're going to regret this.
Desperate, Sarah stands in the middle of the street with her hands on her head as she watches her husband driving her children away. At the beach, Jesse and Anna paddle in the sea by some rocks whilst throwing bread up in the air for the seagulls. Brian sits with Kate on the sand watching them play. With a blanket over her shoulders and the tubes in her nostrils, Kate wears a huge grin across her face as she enjoys the special time together. She lifts her face up to the sun, slightly closing her eyes as she feels the warm summer's breeze on her young face. Brian watches his daughter adoringly. Kate turns to look at her father, and they smile lovingly at one another. Sarah and Kelly pull up on the road adjacent to the beach in an open-top jeep and head across the sand towards the rest of the family. Brian indicates to Kate to kiss him on the nose, unaware that Sarah and Kelly have arrived and are walking across the beach behind them. Sarah kneels down on the blanket behind them. Brian looks at his wife with a blank expression, then nods. Sarah leans in to kiss him squarely on the lips. Kate claps with delight. Kelly plays ball with Anna and Jesse in the surf, whilst Brian mimics trying to pull off his wedding ring. Sarah and Kate laugh. Readjusting the blanket around her daughter's shoulders, Sarah snuggles up close to Kate. Kelly leaps on top of Jesse, trying to retrieve the ball. They tumble down onto the sand, laughing joyously. Then sit with Anna in the sand, watching the large crashing waves and enjoying the family day out. As dawn draws on, a golden light casts an orange hue over the ocean. Sarah lends a supportive hand to Kate as she gingerly attempts to stand up. With the checked blanket still wrapped around her shoulders, she takes a few fragile steps alone towards the sea. Staring out at the ocean, she soaks up her environment, then smiles contentedly to herself. Back at the hospital, Dr. Chance meets the happy family in the reception area. He has brought a wheelchair with him for Kate. He smiles delightedly at them as they meet up. Kate gratefully accepts the wheelchair. A smile plays across her lips as the doctor wheels her away. Her family wave goodbye. Kate turns and waves back at them. Sarah and Campbell Alexander stand in a courtroom before Judge Joan DeSalvo.
I don't suppose there's any way around this without a hearing.
I'm afraid not, Your Honor.
Any housekeeping issues? Open motion? Rule of witness? Okay, let's get started.
The court calls Dr. Kenny Chow.
The doctors talked for what seemed like forever. He said that Kate was a miracle. She should have never made it past 5 years old. They talked about the psychological benefits of donation and how losing my kidney would affect the quality of my life. They all said that nothing was their fault and it was a very complex problem. When put to the test, most everyone thought that I should give Kate my kidney. But they also said that I was too young to understand the situation fully. And none of them could say at what age I would be able to understand. All in all, they were like me. Pretty confused.
But can you tell us one single benefit that Anna has received from any of these procedures?
Yes. She got to save her sister's life.
The court calls Brian Fitzgerald.
Outside the courtroom, Brian comforts Sarah as they sit on the edge of a fountain. Anna uses a payphone.
Hello?
Hey, it's me.
What's going on?
I don't know if I can do this anymore, sissy.
It's gonna be okay.
You hear me? I promise.
Who are you talking to? Hello? Hello?
Mrs. Fitzgerald, how old was Anna when she started donating to her sister?
She was a newborn.
And at 5, she started donating lymphocytes, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
What does that involve?
Giving blood.
Did Anna agree to that?
No, she was 5.
So you didn't ask her if they could stick the needles in her arm?
I asked her to help her sister, and she agreed.
Really? Didn't 2 nurses have to hold Anna down because she was fighting so hard?
Mm-hmm.
So she didn't completely agree, now did she?
Mr. Alexander, it's just us chickens. No showboating, please.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. Force of habit. Mrs. Fitzgerald, how old was Anna the next time she was hospitalized?
When Kate was 9, she got
No, that's not what I asked. I want to find out what happened to Anna when she was 6.
She donated granulocytes.
And what's that, more needles?
Yep.
And did you ask Anna if she was willing to donate the granulocytes?
Her sister needed them. She was the only match.
But did you ask her?
Sarah looks across the courtroom at Anna. Jesse gets up and walks out.
Mrs. Fitzgerald, answer the question, please.
No, I didn't. We talked about it a lot. But no, I didn't ask her permission.
Next was the bone marrow aspiration. Could you describe that procedure for us?
They put needles into Anna's hips.
Into the bone?
Yes.
Big needles? Mm-hmm. Using your hands, would you indicate to the court approximately the size of those needles? It's a tough procedure, am I right? Anna had to be hospitalized afterward.
Yes.
For how long?
6 days. There were some complications.
I see. You add it all up, it's not so innocuous, is it? It's tough to hear it all hashed out that way.
I don't see the point. Court's well aware of the family's medical history.
Of Kate's history, Your Honor, but not of Anna's.
Fair enough. Proceed.
High up on the courtroom roof, Jesse sits precariously balanced on a ledge on the edge of the building. He stares at his drawing of Kate. Racked in grief, he rips up the picture. Slowly he gets to his feet, overlooking a square many feet below. He takes one last look at a section of the torn picture, then opens his grasp around the pieces, allowing the wind to take hold of the paper. He watches on as they flutter around in a swirling motion before him.
Mrs. Fitzgerald, looking back and only at taking into account Anna's well-being, do you think it's reasonable to conclude that you might have taken this too far?
Sarah bows her head.
Looking at only Anna's situation, yes, it is. But I have to think about my entire family.
But Kate comes first.
Kate's the sick one.
So this is a triage situation, compromising one child's health on behalf of the other. Mm-hmm. So where's the line?
For Kate, it's life or death.
Well, not for Kate, for Anna. Remember, she's why we're here.
Yeah, but that's a trick question, because Anna isn't the only person in this equation. And if we were looking at it only from Anna's situation, sure, it is brutal. I mean, who wants to be stuck and poked and prodded by needles? And you can look at me and you can say how awful I am for doing that to my child. And you know what? It is awful.
But it's not as awful as putting your child in the ground.
So you stand up for your family.
It's my job.
And you stand up for Kate.
I do.
But the real question is, who stands up for Anna?
Alexander fixes her with a cold stare. Sarah's eyes well up.
Nothing further, Your Honor.
Mr. Alexander returns to his seat, and Sarah leaves the witness stand.
Mr. Alexander, does your dog have to go to the bathroom?
No, Your Honor, but I may need a recess.
I'm afraid that's out of the question. I want to finish today. Next witness, please.
The court calls Anna Fitzgerald.
I mean it. If you can't control your animal, I'll have him removed.
Quiet, Judge.
Excuse me?
No. I was speaking to the dog. The dog's name is Judge.
I don't care what his name is. I want him quiet.
Raise your right hand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yep.
Please state your name for the record and sit down.
Anna Fitzgerald. Hey, Mom.
Hi, sweetheart. You want to tell us why we're here? Why you're doing this?
For medical emancipation.
That's not what I mean. You love your sister, right? You know she's sick. Why won't you help her?
A flashback.
What are you doing in there? Come on, Kate, just let me in! What's going on? It smells like booze in here.
A party.
You're here for medical emancipation.
Right.
Jesse chips in from the back of the courtroom.
Yes. Is that it? Is that the only reason?
That's the only reason.
Are you sure? Hold, please. Mr. Fitzgerald, is there something you wanted to say?
I don't know. Is there?
Hey.
Okay. All right, that is the last time. If you cannot control him, I'm going to have the bailiff remove him. I mean it. Not another word, counselor. Proceed, please.
I just want to be in charge of my own body.
You don't.
You want me to do something about this?
No, leave it. It's kind of interesting.
Okay, so you want to be in charge?
Yeah. It's my body. I want to be able to make my own decisions about what to do with it.
No, I know you, Anna Fitzgerald, and that's not it. It doesn't add up. For a week now, you've been avoiding the question. I can't tell you. I'm sorry. I don't want to talk about it. You've been walking around like nothing's wrong while your sister rots in that hospital.
I just don't want to do it anymore, okay?
Guess what? I don't believe you. You are hiding something, Anna. You're hiding something. People give their kidneys to total strangers.
You better start talking right now, little girl. You start telling me the truth.
I am telling you the truth.
You're not, because if you are, I don't know you.
Jesus Christ, Anna, just tell him.
You shut up.
Tell him why we're here.
You
what are we doing here in court? Tell him, Anna. God,
this.
You people are so stupid.
You promised.
Kate wants to
Stop
die.
Stop it.
She's making Anna do all this because she knows that she's not going to survive another operation.
That's a lie, Jesse.
Oh, no, it's not. Kate's dying and everybody knows it. You just love her so much that you don't want to let her go.
Your Honor.
But it's time, Mom. Kate's ready.
That's not true. Kate would have told me.
Your Honor,
Mom, she did tell you.
She did.
told you a million times. You didn't want to hear it.
Mr. Alexander.
With his dog by his side, Mr. Alexander flees the courtroom. In the corridor, he breaks out into a run before falling flat on his face, having a fit. Bystanders rush to his aid.
Right then, I understood the real reason why Campbell Alexander took on my case. It wasn't for the notoriety. He was an epileptic. He knew what it was like to not have control over his own body.
Anna? Sissy?
Oh my God. Oh my God.
At home, Kate is in bed. Anna wipes away a trickle of blood from her mouth, then lifts up the blanket and removes a plastic sheet from beneath her. She takes the soiled bed linen into the ensuite bathroom.
Don't worry. Just the new medicine getting ready for the kidney.
You in pain?
Pain. My whole life is a pain.
Anna dampens the flannel, then returns into the bedroom and starts to clean up her sister.
This is the end, Sissy. Just get scarier from here on out. Mom's gonna chop me and cut me. Tom a vegetable. Two cells in the petri dish, two shocks, an electric cord.
You'll be all right.
It's over. Time to go. I need you to do me a favor, Sissy.
What favor?
You can release me.
Anna nods as she struggles to contain her emotions.
Are you certain you don't want to take the rest of the day off?
Oh, no, Your Honor, I'm fine. I can make it for a recess, right?
So, Anna, for the record, did you tell Kate you would stop being a donor so that she could die?
Yeah.
And what did she say?
A flashback.
Mom and Dad are gonna kill me. What am I supposed to tell them?
Tell them you're important, too. Tell them you want to play soccer. Tell them you want to cheerlead.
They'll never believe me.
Yeah, they will. And you want to know why? Because it's the truth.
Oh, boy. You scared?
No. I know I'll be okay.
What do you think happens? I mean, where do you go?
I don't know, baby. Who knows? Wherever it is, maybe I'll run into Taylor.
Will you wait for me?
What?
You go anywhere crazy? Will you wait? What were you doing?
If you're ever lost or scared, go to Montana.
Montana?
Where I'll be.
Okay.
What did she say, Anna?
She said thanks.
All right, I think I have enough information, but before I make my decision, I'd like to visit Kate, if that's all right.
At the hospital, the family gather in the reception area adjacent to Kate's room. Sarah talks to the doctors as Judge DeSalvo has a conversation with Kate in her room. As they finish talking, Judge DeSalvo gives Kate a big hug before leaving the room. Outside in the ward, she composes herself before walking past the family and doctors without communicating. Sarah and Brian exchange glances. Then the family and the doctor spill into Kate's room.
Hey, hey. Sweetheart. How are you feeling?
Hi. Hey, you look good. Look, I got you this book, okay? It's full of guided meditations, visualizations, healing stuff. Really good for you, okay?
Hey. Keep fighting.
Okay.
I'm ready to do it. Right, promise me?
Promise.
Cat out of the bag, you naughty boy.
I didn't know what else to do.
I'm sorry.
Hey. Hey, I know what you did. You know how brave you are.
Kate hugs and kisses her brother and sister as the adults look on with sadness in their hearts.
How about some pizza?
Definitely.
I got pizza. I'm just going to pass it out. There's still
pizza.
Anna wants a piece. I want pizza and 7-Up. Thank you.
You just got to tell yourself you're going to get better. Tell your brain to heal yourself and work on it while you're sleeping. I'm not kidding.
I will, I promise.
Okay. Subconscious mind is a really powerful thing.
Yeah, you know, it's like this lady I saw on TV. She would talk to her cancer cells and ask them to go away. And eventually they did. Do not make this up. This is true.
Go away, cancer cells.
Yeah, like that. Maybe more sincerely than that.
What about that prison story? You know, those prisoners are like in there for 10 years and practicing their invisible golf swing. And they practice and then they see it in their mind. So by the time they get out, boom, they're scratch golfers.
It's true, you know, I've even heard about those mothers, the ones who, like, get supernatural power, and they can lift up a car and save their babies. It's amazing.
Miracles happen every day.
That's right. This world isn't just made up of science and medicine. There are powerful things out there that none of us can understand.
Guys, there's more over here. I promise. I'll read the book.
I like that.
Sorry, guys. Everybody's got to go. Visiting hours are over. Seriously. Out.
One by one, the visitors take it in turn to say their goodbyes. Then they file out of the room with heavy hearts, leaving only the immediate family behind.
Go home. I need some time with Mom.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go. Come on.
Kate waves goodbye to Anna with her index finger, which has a monitor clipped to the end of it. Anna smiles lovingly at her sister and waves back with a wiggle of her index finger. Sarah slowly rises from her chair, crosses the room towards the door, then turns on her heels with arms crossed to face her daughter.
You want to talk?
Nope.
You mad at me?
I'm not mad at you, I'm just mad. You gotta get some rest, okay? You'll be strong for surgery.
Sarah takes a seat on the edge of the bed. Kate smiles, then pulls out the scrapbook from underneath the sheets.
I made this for you.
What is it?
It's everything. It's everything.
Kate hands her mother the scrapbook, then sits up in the bed as she takes great delight in watching her mother open up the book. She opens up a page with a picture of herself as a guardian angel. An inscription reads, "A guardian angel who watches over me every second of every day. No matter how sick I am, I know I am never alone." The next page is covered with pictures of the family through the years, along with a variety of handwritten messages. As she turns the page, a pop-up picture of Kate springs up with a banner reading, "I love you." Mother and daughter share a tender moment as they look lovingly at one another. A double-page spread is covered with pictures of Montana. A note in the corner says, "I'll be waiting." Another page has a picture of Kate as a little girl, with eyes blue, hair blonde, DOB 22-8-1990, printed alongside it. Another picture of Kate has, "Don't ask me why," written by it. Sarah gulps as she tries to harness her emotions. A picture of a bear and a message, "Remember our trip to Montana. How I'd always wander off, and Dad thought the bears would get me." The final two pictures are of Kate as a little girl, alongside a current one of her in hospital. A note mentions Christmas Eve in the hospital.
"It was a good one, wasn't it? Best." "You remember that summer when I went away to camp? And I was so scared that I'd miss you guys.
Yeah.
Before I got on the bus, told me to take a seat on the left side, right next to the window, so I'd be able to look back and see you there. I get the same seat now. It's gonna be okay."
Sarah's steely resolve dissolves as she breaks down in the arms of her daughter. They lie down on the bed together, holding hands and cuddling.
"My sister died that night. I wish I could say that she made some miracle recovery, but she didn't. She just stopped breathing.
At the funeral, family and friends congregate around the grave as the burial service takes place. Sprays of water from the fire brigade shoot up into the air as a mark of respect.
"And I wish I could tell you that there was some good that came out of it. That through Kate's death, we could all go on living. Or even that her life had some special meaning. Like they named a park after her. Or a street. Or that the Supreme Court changed a law because of her. But none of that happened. She's just gone. A little piece of blue sky now. And we all have to move on." A few days later, I got a surprise visitor.
"Hi.
Somebody here wants to see you."
"Hey, Judge.
Hello. I brought this for you."
Campbell Alexander hands Anna a brown envelope. She pulls out the papers contained inside.
"We won. You still have to do your homework and go to bed when your parents tell you to, but you're now officially medically emancipated.
90% success rate, right?"
91. "Well, this suppose I should go.
Anna gives Campbell a big hug.
Thanks for stopping by, Mr. A. It was really good to see you.
You too. If there's ever anything else you need, you know?
Okay.
Judge.
Campbell, with his dog by his side, walks over to his convertible Rolls-Royce parked on the driveway. Anna watches as he drives off, with Judge sitting on his lap.
Everyone is trying to get to the bar.
Life is different now.
The name of the bar.
A lot has changed in the last few years. Mom went back to work, rebuilt her practice, and is now making a very nice living. Dad took an early pension and now spends time counseling troubled inner-city youths. And Jesse's doing best of all. After Kate died, he turned his life around. He went back to school and got himself a scholarship to a fancy art academy in New York. And even though we've grown up and moved away, every year on Kate's birthday, we all take a vacation together. And it's always to the same place.
Anna sits on a picnic bench on the banks of a lake in Montana. Snow-capped mountains form a dramatic backdrop. Sarah and Kelly stand by the camper van, wrapped up in warm winter's clothes and sipping on hot drinks. Sarah watches Brian and Jesse as they fish standing waist-deep in the lake before her.
I'll never understand why Kate had to die and we all got to live. There's no reason for it, I guess. Death's just death. Nobody understands it.
Sarah joins Anna, sitting by her side on the bench. Mother and daughter exchange a knowing look. Smiling, Sarah strokes her daughter's arm. They sit together in silence, enjoying their surroundings, with the winter sun beating down on their faces and the wind in their hair. They then look up towards the skies.
Once upon a time, I thought I was put on Earth to save my sister. In the end, I couldn't do it. But I realize now, that wasn't the point. The point was I had a sister. She was fantastic. One day I'm sure I'll see her again. But until then, our relationship continues.
Audio described by Penelope Parisi on behalf of MCS Agency. The end.